you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25. Brothers, pray for us. Oh, I like that one.
I like that.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, July 11th, 2022. I was almost going to say Memorization Monday, Marianne.
Oh, my goodness. That brings back memories.
Yeah, that was like a year and a half of going through 100 Bible verses. Almost 2 years. Memorization Monday. That's always when I think of Monday.
Wow.
I think of Memorization Monday. But I guess that was a year or so back.
But that was wonderful. I mean, people really joined in, too.
Yeah,
that
was great. It's a great book, 100 Bible verses everyone should know by heart. In fact, we still have copies at both locations, our Springfield studio and here at Marketplace Mall. $10, great book. We highly recommend it.
I wonder if that scripture is in the book. I don't recall, but that's a great scripture. Pray for us.
Yeah, and that's one of those short ones. It's only four words. You know, everyone says, what's the shortest verse in the Bible? It's in John.
Jesus wept.
Jesus wept. And there's another one with three words.
Yeah.
And then
now,
this
pray
one.
Pray for us.
Brothers, pray for us. Oh, I like that one. I like that concept. And that's part of what we'll be talking about today as we're turning to chapter 4 in our beloved book, Prayer of the Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. And the chapter 4 title is Train Others to Pray for You. I'm all about that.
Oh, yeah.
We covet, we appreciate, we really need your prayers. And the hand of God is sometimes moved. I don't know. That's that mystery, how we can intercede on behalf of others or pray to God and how he moves or miraculously does things. And so we're all about prayer, and Monday is the topic of prayer. But we also have a special guest, Marianne, joining us. You got to meet him last Thursday at our Ministry Leaders Network luncheon, and it was fun introducing him to everyone. I could probably go on for a long time, but let me tell you two things about Mike that I appreciate before formally. Marianne, this is going to probably take about 6 minutes.
Okay.
You know, our pattern
well, can
is...
Can we let our guest talk at some point? Say hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Well done. Okay, you can go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, but one thing that we did, we prayed up the program, but we were also talking. And what I so appreciated about Mike, and it's one of the things that he said to both of us, is when I spoke last week, what did you think about my talk?
What
impressions they had?
Whatever,
give me some feedback. And you, I know, appreciate that, Marianne. When anyone is receptive or open to asking those questions, then you can kind of coach them or share or give them ideas or thoughts. And how many times many of us are reluctant. We feel like we don't want to be criticized.
Well, yeah. I mean,
but he was very open. That's his nature or temperament.
When anybody asks that question, they'll go far because it means they really want to get their message across.
Yeah. So it was
And he did. That was a cool question.
Yeah, he did really good. And so we critiqued it for a few minutes, just sharing some of the things.
I don't know if that's quite the word.
Well, I look at critique as a good thing.
You critiqued it.
Yeah, because I critique everything.
We talked
about that. Yeah, that's right. So anyways, joining us in the studio.
You know, he might turn the tables on you.
Oh, yeah. Well, he did share with the pastors and ministry leaders. And, you know, you never finished. I'm going to maybe elaborate a little on that story. But with us in the studio is Mike Hansen, a dear friend. He was on a trip with me to Israel, what, 15? How many years ago?
It probably was about 15 years.
About 15 years ago. Oh. I cite it as one of my favorite trips.
Yeah, you do.
Now, I've had 28
trips. Even when you're not
trips.
Here, Mike.
Yeah.
It was so unique in how God worked and the combination of people that were on the trip. Now, every trip is special and unique, and I get to know people very well. But this trip, what made it so different is a third of it was educators, because Parkland College had asked me to facilitate and to organize it and to lead it and host it. So there was a third that were like educators, many not churchgoers, probably agnostic or atheists. Then there was a third that were Christians that were fun, many that I knew or some new friends that were made, followers of Jesus. So they were very excited about the whole trip. And then another third, or the last third, were Jewish people locally here that heard about the trip and wanted to go to the Holy Land. So it was always neat balancing or bridging the different expectations that certain people had or the desires or the intent that they had for why they were going or what they wanted to learn or glean or be influenced by. And so it was just fun. And Mike was my roommate.
Yeah.
So at night he got to hear some of my,
I guess,
my purgings. Yeah.
Like, downloads. Why don't you call it that?
Yeah, that's right. And then he brought up to the ministry leaders. There was one individual, I think from day one, didn't want prayer on the bus because they thought this was a Parkland College trip. And I was committed to Parkland College to make sure that it didn't seem overly religious. But how can it not be religious when you're in the Holy Land where Jesus walked? And we talked about first century Roman history. And anyways, I always walked a tightrope, but this person never seemed to totally be pleased by certain things or thought it was too spiritual or the guide was getting too biblical, even though he was given the what we called the biblical narrative, or I would just say the narrative of the site. And so anyways, but as it would turn out, a day or two before the last day, she twisted her ankle.
Oh, yeah.
And I had to wheel her around. And so I'd look at Mike and we'd just kind of laugh, like only God could have orchestrated, like the person that was the hardest one to deal with. I ended up serving.
You ended up pushing that person around.
And it was kind of maybe good for her. And actually, it was good for both of us, I think, for a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
But only God, I think, in his divine sense of humor, said, you know what, Mark, here's what I'm going to do.
Here's a plan.
And you're going to learn to serve this person.
Oh.
And she's going to learn to accept you having to push her around.
Yeah,
and
to
so
appreciate forth. It. Well, so, Mike told that story at the minister's luncheon.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, Mike
gotta laugh.
Is the executive director of BCM. Biblical Counseling Ministry. And so I asked him to come in and encourage our pastors and ministry leaders in understanding things like biblical counseling and self-care and how can a church effectively serve their congregants, their members, with biblical counseling using the Bible. And I love the many references you made to God's Word. God's Word is full. It's complete. It can answer all of life's questions. It can be used in so many different settings and different ways to help the pastors realize that you don't have to do it all. You can get people trained in your church that can take some of this burden on. And you had many good things and handouts to share. And so it was fun recently reconnecting and saying, can you come in and be a part of the Ministry Leaders Network, which meets the first Thursday of every month. And so I'm still working on getting confirmation for next month's speaker. But thank you for coming, and thank you for being available for today, Monday's edition of Mark and Friends. And in a few minutes, we are going to read from Chapter 4, Train Others to Pray for You. And we've already talked about maybe we'll have you back tomorrow for Testimony Tuesday, because I know some of your faith journey, and I think God has really used life experiences and situations in your life to have you doing what you're doing. But can you give us maybe a little summary of some of the things that you said? I wrote down a couple of things. Getting to the root cause. Many times, psychologists, psychiatrists, or people will maybe put a Band-Aid over, or this is a method, or this is a new way of thinking, but maybe they never resolve the root cause of what's going on. And you talked about the heart change that needs to take place, and the Bible is filled with heart changes, and the Lord is all about changing our heart. Or maybe something along the lines where you talked about creating that biblical culture, you know, that biblical counseling, practicing the others first. So just jump in, give our listeners maybe a little snapshot of some of what you accomplished this past Thursday.
Yeah, it was a gift, Mark, to share with these pastors. I love pastors. I think most pastors are around the country are small and medium-sized churches. They're overwhelmed. They're close to burnout. Mm-hmm. They love people. They're called to that calling. We talk about critique. They get critiqued every day at everything they do. So they don't usually get a lot of encouragement. And sadly, most churches, when it comes to real serious problems, have drank the punch thinking like that can't be accomplished and counseled within the church. They feel like they need to send people down the street. And if we believe God's word is sufficient, as God says it is himself, we should be able to pull that out and talk about everybody's problems at a root level, not just a fruit level. And fruit are the things we see. Like, you could see my anger, you could see my anxiety, those kind of things. But what's causing that? If we don't get to the root, like, we're just shuffling, we're just rearranging fruit.
Well, you sure had a group of people that were listening intently to you. I will say that. Especially about that root causes. That's thought-provoking.
And what I appreciated, and I think we talked about this a little before the program, is when you put out a disclaimer, these are some of the things I'm not saying, or recognize that there are other points of view, Or oftentimes some people will cite this or try to bring, if you will, the secular with the spiritual together. Or there's others that will lean heavily into, well, let's leave this to the professionals. And I loved how you put that disclaimer. So I love Bible teachers that'll say, I know there are other different points of view on predestination or election, and, mm-hmm. and these are capable, God-fearing believers, and they have strong feelings, but let me share why I believe what I believe. Mm-hmm. And I thought you did a real effective job at sharing, because of your life experience, of how you've seen lives transformed, that you were pretty passionate in your sharing. So give us a little thumbnail on some of the maybe tips, or do you want to cover maybe a resource or something that you shared with everyone? How about the stream? Talk about that stream. Yeah. I really like that graphic.
Yeah, so you just pulled out, and I'm looking at what I call the discipleship river. And there's really three parts to it. The top part is this introductory discipleship, or what we would call evangelism. Mm-hmm. And as we're engaging with people, those are people that don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ yet. So when we're talking to our neighbor, our friends, and they're bringing up problems, and we recognize that they don't know Jesus, like, our only counsel really we can give them is, let me tell you about the bigger problem. Mm-hmm. You need a Savior, and let's talk about the gospel. Once they receive Christ, then they're in this river. Now they're moving. They're connected with other believers, and I would call that intentional discipleship, or that would be practicing the one another's, which we're commanded to do. And as you know, there's probably 40 commands of the one another's that we're commanded to do.
I like that phrase, by the way. Practicing the one another's.
Practicing the one another's. That's where it gets practical. Mm-hmm. Like, are we equipped when our neighbor comes across the street and says, you know what, I'm not even sure I want to live. Mm-hmm. Like, what do we do with that? I think the sad answer too often for us is that, oh, let me get you with my pastor. You know, and the pastor, as I just shared, is burned out and he's already filled. But we should be ready to do that. And we should be ready to lovingly listen and then bring people to the Word of God, because God has answers for every single problem. And that's actually the third part of the discipleship river, or what's called intense discipleship, or what we would refer to as biblical counseling. And that is when people get stuck. They're down in that, I call it the eddy. And if anyone's ever been in an eddy, they know, as I was, mm-hmm. it's scary. You get stuck and you have no way to get out, and you don't know how you're going to get out. And we need somebody then to paddle in and pull us out of there.
I like that, paddle in.
Yeah. Yeah. Or we get turned around in our little canoe and we don't know what to do. And
going in circles.
You're going in circles. So that is what I refer to as biblical counseling, or maybe even better, intensive discipleship. For those serious problems. But that eddy area is where the church sometimes gets stuck. They don't know what to do with that, or the pastor doesn't feel equipped, or feels like he needs to send that down the street, or various different answers.
Hmm. Yeah. In case you just tuned in and you're thinking, now, what's going on Monday? I thought they're going to do some reading from the book, Prayer, the Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. Yeah, we're going to get to that in just a minute. But I had a special friend in the studio, two friends. Marianne's a friend, but Mike Hansen's a friend. He survived being a roommate on a past trip to Israel with me. And you can hear the program in its entirety at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, and also at wluj.org, if you missed a portion or want to pass it on to a friend. But I was thinking, when you were talking about ultimately people need Jesus, but what are the baby steps? Because maybe they're not ready, or because of a bad experience they had in the church. I mean, we know that they're going to need Jesus for the ultimate healing, or to provide the hope, or to fix their situation, but they're not ready yet. So what would you counsel an individual or a person or a pastor? How do we help them take baby steps to find some healing or hope when they're not ready to have Jesus accepted into their life yet?
That's a really good question. And it reminds me of what we were talking about before, when people don't want critique. Like, that's how, you know, sometimes we ask for critique, but often, sadly, people don't want critique.
All right.
And I'm thinking about that. We call it having a real counselee, or a real disciple person. If they're really not ready and wanting that, it's almost like, am I being a good steward of my time with trying to convince them of that?
That's sometimes, very honoring, too.
Yeah.
To respectful.
Yeah. Yeah. And sadly, we all have been around people like that. You see how you can help. You see the need, but they don't see it. And they are just hard-hearted, and they don't want it. Mm-hmm. And no matter what we do, without God intervening in that heart, really, we're just spinning our wheels.
which makes me think about the importance of prayer, because many times people will pray, Lord, order my steps today, bring about those divine appointments, bring that person into my life that's maybe hungering for spiritual things.
That you'd have me speak to.
Yeah, and if that happens, you know, praise God, but we should always be praying for that to happen, and maybe not to try to force it to force it into happening, I guess they would say, which we can learn from this book about being prayed for or praying for others as we turn to chapter 4.
It is chapter 4 for those following along on page 53. And, you know, it says train others to pray for you. And because he's speaking to leaders, he's kind of like training your people to pray for you. But I think it's true for every single one of us, not the training part. Not, I don't think of myself as training someone else to pray for me, but asking, requesting, being sure to speak up and say, I need prayer. Please pray. Please pray. Yeah.
And in a sense, when you do that, that is training someone to be able to say, I need to do that too.
Oh, that's a good point.
You're modeling it.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and when you read this too, I'm not saying a double entendre, but it's kind of like train others to pray for you. It's a little self-serving, but I really want people to be praying for me.
I need.
So I want to train them well so they can pray well for me. I don't know.
I like it. All right, let's read this. In the early years of my ministry as a spiritual leader, and to my own loss, I overlooked the importance of soliciting prayers from my people. Yet one day, that radically changed, and let me explain. I woke up one morning in pain, sharp, stinging pain. I got out of bed and looked down at my arm. Every painful area was marked with an angry red welt. My legs and back were worse, with burning red welts everywhere. I went to my doctor, who was stunned. 22, he exclaimed, shaking his head. 22 boils. I've only had one boil in my life, I said. How can I now have 22 all at the same time? He proceeded to quiz me on everywhere I'd been recently, everything I had done, and everything I had eaten. Uh-uh, he sighed, shaking his head. I don't like it when doctors shake their heads. I've never seen anything like it. So many boils coming so fast, he muttered. I've never read anything like it, except in the book of Job. The light of insight flashed in his eyes. This is a long shot, but it's worth asking. What are you preaching about Sunday? My doctor's a believer. Spiritual warfare, I said. I'm preaching on the devil and demons. Bingo, he said. This can only be spiritual warfare. The coming of the boils and the visit to the doctor happened on a Tuesday. I went home from the doctor's and told Kathy what he had said. She called some of our prayer warriors and asked them to pray for a miracle. Friday morning, I was back at the doctor's. Gone, he muttered, shaking his head. All gone. Never seen anything like it. Boils don't come and go that quickly. Your people must have done some strong praying.
Your people.
Yeah. On your behalf. Within 2 days, all the boils were all gone. I was beginning to learn the power of a leader soliciting prayer from his followers. When we started our church, I was ignorant of the enemy's schemes, and the enemy took advantage of that. Every Saturday was miserable at my house, especially if we had a big crowd expected on Sunday morning. The kids would be healthy all week, but wake up vomiting on Saturday night. Or they would be good all week and be rotten on Saturday night. Or my wife and I would get along great all week and get in an argument over some stupid little thing on Saturday night.
Can I get a testimony? I don't know how many pastors or church leaders are like nodding their head. And I've already told Holly many times, I said, always be prepared when we launch a new expansion initiative or a new practice of prayer or something that we see God at work. I said, there's always opposition to frustrate, thwart, derail at all times. I've seen this over so many years.
So after they argued on Saturday night and then at about midnight, right after we'd fallen asleep, the phone would ring. It would either be a wrong number or a drunk. After a few years of this, I began to see a pattern. I'm a little slow. So after the boils incident, I swallowed my pride, and that Sunday night, I explained to my people what was going on. And I asked them to pray for me, especially on Saturday nights. The next Saturday night was heaven in my home. The kids were happy and healthy. Kathy and I got along great. The phone did not ring. I slept like a baby. And that Sunday, I preached better than ever. Well, praise God for what happened in his life.
Train others to pray for you. Chapter 4 in this book, Prayer, the Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. I highly recommend you reading this. It's $10. It's a discounted price because we purchase multiple copies and you can get them at both of our locations. But a great book. And yeah, that practice, I've seen it in this ministry for these 27 plus years. Anytime we've launched a new initiative or done something, even preparing for an Israel trip, it's just unbelievable. I mean, the consistent pattern of something coming up to thwart, frustrate, derail, issues just surface.
Well, you know, there's another side to this, is sometimes we take for granted, oh, things are going along great. Oh, it's okay. No problem. People don't realize you're probably being prayed for.
Yeah.
You're probably being undergirded. And not just that, if we are fine, maybe we could move to greater and greater heights with prayer. There's no such thing as, oh, no, I don't need prayer.
And that's one of the luxuries, I think, one of the bonuses or great benefits of this radio ministry, how many people do pray for us.
Oh, yeah.
And we have felt undergirded. And I think some of the many initiatives that have been launched is because people have been praying, and maybe I get an idea or you get an idea, or we feel as a board leading.
Don't get any more ideas.
We've
got so many irons in the fire
right
here.
Hey, I have to comment in our closing moment here on page 53 where it says, I don't like it when a doctor shakes their heads.
Yeah. Oh,
go ahead.
No, I just felt bad. I said, don't get more ideas because your ideas are great.
Yeah, well, I know I keep us all hopping, but it says, I don't like when doctors shake their heads.
Yeah.
Dr. Dave Dunn, who's one of our board members, original board members of these 27 plus years.
Right.
He was an intern, you know, he's a doctor, a physician, and he said one time he was in an examining room where he and other interns, I guess, are watching a doctor. And so he knew the procedures and everything. And at one point he was watching the doctor and he goes, oops, out loud.
Oh, no.
And the doctor afterwards said, don't you ever bring that up, because he saw the doctor did something wrong and he said, oops. And so anyways,
I always think that,
you know what? So,
that put the fear into somebody.
Yeah, the doctor didn't like that from the intern that was observing.
Yeah,
so we appreciate Dave Dunn and our board and all of you that pray on behalf of this radio ministry. We, I don't know, covet, is that the right word? Is that wrong?
I don't like to use that
word. What's the better
word
to say? We appreciate, certainly.
No, we want.
We need, for sure. We thank you for praying on behalf of this ministry, because God does some great things. And Mike, we're going to have you back for Testimony Tuesday tomorrow to share some of your faith journey. I always love Testimony Tuesdays to see how God has worked in somebody's life. So maybe at work in your life today, may you be praying for this radio ministry or taking those baby steps forward to understanding God does love you. He has a plan and purpose for your life. He created you and he wants you to flourish, and he'll work that out into your life. Maybe it won't be everything rosy and working out perfectly today, but there's an eternity set before you that he wants to have you a part of by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marian Simpkins, and Mike Hansen with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.